Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Okay, remind me to get a new chair. I keep sinking in this one. It's like, you know, you forget it until you come back in your chair and you sit down and you realize the microphone's up near your nose and then by your forehead and you think, you know what? This is not an ideal situation for radio. So take my substandard, pre-success furniture. It's time to replace some of this stuff. Anyway, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things to talk about today. I want to do just a couple of things before I bring Gene on for a few minutes with Gene Vernick. Excuse me, what is now called, are you kidding me? I'll get it straight. Very disorganized, very, very distracted today. I'm sort of preoccupied with tonight's quick address. I only have about 5 minutes, but it's interesting. I can do a three-hour show and not worry about it. You know, give me 5 minutes in front of a stadium full of people. I'm like, you know, I really got to think about this here. And it's kind of crazy, but it's harder to speak for 5 minutes than it is for 3 hours. Trust me, because I got all the time in the world here. I can kind of, vamp and improv. So the title of the show today, Breaking Up from the Shadow Ban at the Medical Freedom Rally. There is a rally this evening. Let me pull up the flyer that's going out about it. And it's going to be, I think, for at least Action Radio, this could be huge. In fact, now I can't find my flyer. Where did it go? This is the way things are going this morning. Well, I'll do it from memory. I'll just start moving things around until I find it. You know, we had one a couple of weeks ago, and we had one with, there it is. Dr. Deborah Viglione. Put this wonderful thing together. And it was done very last minute. We had Dr. Ryan Cole. We had some other folks. We had Dr. Peter McCullough by video. And it talked about, this is about a month or so ago. And it talked about all the problems we're having right now. Excuse me, getting the word out, getting the truth out. And the fact that so many people have died needlessly. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have died needlessly. In fact, I was just watching a video with Dr. Peter Navarro, who I really want to get on the show because I believe he's the real hero of the Trump administration when it comes to dealing with COVID properly. He's the only one that understood the problem and knew that the cure had to be implemented. And Trump, of course, listened to the wrong people, let Dr. Fascist take over his administration. Of course, the rest is history. And now he's out of office. And a lot of that started, with the whole COVID thing. That was part of the plan, was to get him out of office. The vaccine was kind of like a sideline that they sort of brought in and decided they could make billions of dollars off it. But I think the real goal, first goal, was just to get Trump out of office using a pandemic. And of course, that's not true. Maybe there's a hand in hand. But anyway, point being that that's what happened. This is where we are. And so doctors all over the country have been screaming and yelling to get the cures out, to get the treatments out, because this should never have been a pandemic. And as far as Action Radio is concerned, what happened was back on March 2nd of 2020, when I didn't realize how significant this announcement was, but we said, look, chloroquine kills COVID. There is no pandemic. There's no need for a pandemic. We've got the cure. You don't have a pandemic when you have the cure. Pandemics happen when you don't have the cure and millions upon millions of people get sick and a whole bunch of those people die. That's what a pandemic is. But if you already have the cure, there's no pandemic because you can stop the virus. All right. You can stop the disease. And so we knew that. I knew that because of the study by Dr. De La Raoult in Marseille, France, and very shortly thereafter by Dr. Zelenko here in the United States. And so I broadcast that, and I've been broadcasting it ever since. And of course, ever since then, the hammer came down. Big tech, who have their algorithms, who search the entire internet for anybody who is saying anything other than the party line. And the party line was vaccines. Party line was COVID is a deadly disease. Party line was there is no cure. There are no early treatments. You just have to go to the hospital, get on remdesivir, which is a deadly drug in itself, wait for your lungs to fill with fluid and then go on a ventilator, hopefully to blast the fluid out of your lungs. And then 97% of those people die. That was the pandemic. The pandemic was a horrible drug from a horrible man, Dr. Fascist, and a horrible treatment on a horrible way to die. That was the pandemic. COVID was just a virus. And so anybody who broadcasts that, to this day, this is going on still. And I remember I look back at some of our earlier Facebook pages. I didn't do this, this week, but this is like a couple of months ago. I went back, tracing back, the amount of views and likes and what did they have, like views and exposures and things like that on our Action Radio with Greg Penglis page. there were thousands of people were viewing and engaging in our show. And this is in the first, we've been on, let me see now, March. So we started December of 2018. So this would be December of 2021. This is going to be 3 years this December. I've been on Blog Talk Radio. And two of those years, you know, almost since March of 2020, we've been shadow banned, censored, restricted. My groups have been disabled, been kicked off. I've been suspended, you know, many, many times. And all this is that none of this happened before. I used to get really political. I mean, it was, people were shocked. I can't believe you're getting away with that on Facebook. But we weren't, because Facebook didn't care. I mean, they did, but they didn't. I mean, so the things that I was able to post on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis page, which I meant to be my show page, I wanted my personal page just for, you know, personal stuff. You know, last night's steak dinner, you know, all the fluffy things other people do. But it turned out I couldn't do that, because on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis page, I couldn't post anything without somebody harassing me, somebody reporting me to Facebook. They'd insult me, lie about me, say all kinds of horrible things, which is okay. I mean, I can take that. But then I respond to them and say, excuse me, this is where you made your mistake. And they would report me for bullying. Okay, and then I get kicked off, and then they close down my page. I'm like, wait a minute, I just responded to these people. It doesn't matter. They're liberals. I'm not. I didn't tell the Facebook social media big tech line, and therefore I was out. Okay, and so this is how this happened. So now I have the opportunity, and Action Radio has the opportunity, to break out of that. And so we're going to start with the rally tonight. There'll be many more public appearances, and there'll be many more times for you to help by sharing the show and sharing the bills. And so the main thing I'm going to talk about tonight are the two bills that are being written, one which is done and the other which is almost done. The one that's done is redoing the Parental Bill of Rights in Florida statutes, and that's section 1014, if you want to look that up. And the second one has to do with the Public Health Authority, and that's section 381. And what I've done in both of these is I've taken the legislative garbage out where they control everything, and I've put the rights and the Constitution back in. So in other words, everything that Public Health Administration does in the state of Florida has to be subordinate to individual and constitutional rights and due process, especially before anything is done. Okay, the Parental Bill of Rights, I took out all the sections where they said you have the right to this unless authorized by law. Well, wait a minute. If law can block a right, then it's not a right. Rights are supreme to laws. That's the whole point. Rights mean the government can't touch it. So if a right says in the Parental Bill of Rights that it's subject to authorization by law or unless prohibited by law, then it's not a right. So I took all that crap out, including a couple of abortion provisions, which I took out also, which said that the Parental Bill of Rights does not affect, you know, when a parent decides to end a life. Really? Well, what about the life? You know, I mean, wait a minute, that's an abortion provision. So I took those out too. You know, and you probably didn't even know they were in there, and that's understandable. I'm the legal nerd that reads all this stuff and goes, what? Because, you know, I can see where they're going with it, and it's the curse of liking reading of the law. It's just kind of a weird thing. But anyway, so that's what I found, and so I took all that crap out, and I'll present it tonight. So what I'm hoping you folks will do is start getting in gear in terms of sharing the show with everybody you know, and sharing the bills with every media outlet and every legislative person and you know, body you can think of. And that includes Congress, the state legislatures, the city councils, the county commissions, and the school boards. Those are the five objectives of Action Radio. At the local level, we have a bill that would create an illegal alien-free zone in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Now, that's critical right now because the Brandon insurrection is flying in illegals, you know, nightly at 2:30 in the morning. And DeSantis, you know, our Governor DeSantis was on last night on One American News, and also I think on I think it's Tucker Carlson's show also, talking about how this is happening and they're really not sure what to do about it. Well, we already solved that problem. You know, yeah, you can come. Yeah. If you're dropped in here illegally, well, if you acquire anything, you get any benefit, you know, anybody that helps you, we're going to seize your stuff through civil asset forfeiture. Okay. So that's going on. As far as the Parental Bill of Rights, it's actually a Bill of Rights, and the Public Health Authority, that's actually, you know, under my new bill, it would actually, they would have to operate under the Constitution, and they would not be subject to federal whims. In fact, part of the public health law separates actions of Florida from any requirement to follow or in any way imitate or connect with the federal health bureaucracies, especially given their corruption and ownership by Big Pharma. I didn't actually say that, but I kind of said that. And so we can legislate in terms of coming up with the laws that we consent to be governed by. And then it's up to us to lobby and advocate those to the legislature, just like anybody else, with their special interest provisions. And so hopefully these bills will go to the special legislative session, because you're going to send them there. You're going to send them by email. You're going to copy the links. You're going to say, I want this bill. You're going to send it to every legislature. You're going to send it to the governor's office so they know what's going on. We've already done a press release. They already know what's going on. But it makes a whole lot more impact if several thousand of you in the immediate area here, and of course across the state of Florida, that could be several hundred thousand, you know, start sending in our bills. Now we're going to be noticed. And now it's a very different question when the legislature, when you go to a legislator and you say, you know, please help me, I want you to do this. And they say, well, gee, I'm sorry, you know, we're doing the best we can. We're studying it and, you know, we're working on the problem. It's very, very different if you actually have a bill, you know, that you have sent them, or it's actually in your hand, or not even physically in your hand, but it's right there on your computer, laptop, or phone. I say, wait a minute, we've already solved that problem for you. We'd like you to pass this bill. Okay, that's an entirely different argument, because then they're caught, you know, actually being out legislated by citizens, and we don't know how that's going to work. I mean, I've seen partially, but that's going to be a whole new phenomenon. And that's what we're dealing with now, is the fact that we are doing the legislators' job better, faster, and more comprehensively than they can do it themselves. And they have lawyers and committee staff and study committees and all those folks. And and I single-handedly basically wrote the two bills, and I'm just one person. And so it doesn't take a genius to do this, because I'm certainly no genius, but I can just read the law, see where the problems are, change those, create an amended version, send it to you, you send it to the legislature, and now we've got a lobbying group. Okay? And that's how this works. And so tonight is critical for a breakout, can start reaching, you know, hundreds of thousands of Floridians, millions of people across the country, and millions more worldwide, because that's where I'm going with this, to teach people that they can write the laws that they consent to be governed by, and then lobby those laws, advocate those laws in the appropriate legislative body. And that's what this is all about. So hopefully we can do that and break through the shadow bans, the censorship, the restrictions, the disabling of my favorite Facebook group, the Dr. Zelenko Action Radio Coronavirus Clearinghouse, where we introduced ivermectin into the medical lexicon, into the common dialogue about 6 months before any news story covered it. That's how far ahead we were. You know, we were years ahead we were at least a couple of weeks ahead of the Laura Ingraham show, but we were years ahead of most news outlets talking about chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine is killing COVID. You know, we're on the cutting edge of freedom, and it's up to you to keep us there. I mean, that's really what I'm saying. It's up to you to keep us there. Let us help you. You know, let Help Action Radio help you. And the way you help Action Radio is two things. You share the show, and you share the bills. That's basically it. And there we go from there. Let's get to Gene. When all is falling apart around you, when people are looking to you for answers you don't have, when you need a calm, reassuring voice to settle your fragile nerves, well, you've come to the right place. The always serene and tranquil, reasoned and measured, stable and sedate Gene Drenig, producer of the Action Radio Citizen Legislature, takes a few minutes each week at this time to reflect on her favorite phrase, "Are you kidding me?" And now, Gene Drenig. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. I wish I was there. I would love to go there tonight. For one, I think it's going to be amazing, amazing, amazing. And I know you're going to pack a lot of words, a lot of important information in 5 minutes. So can't wait to hear recordings of it after the fact, because I know there's going to be some.
Oh, yeah. But, well, I think Studio 850, one of our local news sources, I think is carrying it live. And they're friends of mine. It's just a local video service, and they're really good. But I'm got a message into them. But if anybody's wondering, try looking to Studio 850 if you want to catch it live, if you can't be at Blue Wahoo Stadium. And then failing that, of course, we'll have copies of the videos, which I'll be posting as soon as they're available. And they will be made. I mean, they were made from the first video, mostly on Rumble, because the regular folks don't want to carry the things that we have to say. Dr. Artis is going to be there. I don't know about Dr. Jody Mikovits. I don't think so. I think people have been sending around an older poster where she was going to be there, but I've talked to her, and she said she has another engagement to go to. So, but you never know. Maybe she'll be on the big screen. Who knows? You know, I never know what happens last minute, but that's where we stand now. So Studio 850 would be a good source to check. Anyway, back to you.
Awesome. Well, I just got a couple things to talk about. I'm going to talk about the vax mandate, but first, I'm a female, so I got to talk about shopping. Man, I need to go out and shop because I am behind the eight ball. And you may ask, why? Well, I don't have my Let's Go Brandon apparel yet. Did you hear about the woman that went to the hockey game in Wichita, Kansas and got kicked out because she was wearing a Let's Go Brandon shirt?
Oh, no.
I mean,
I have not heard this. Tell me the story.
We have so much more things going on in this country than you kick someone out with a Let's Go Brandon shirt. I mean, I can think of a lot more offensive statements, pictures I've seen on shirts in a long time. And the thing is, Let's Go Brandon, it's like we all know what it means when it's in the Biden world, but you don't know what any single person means by that when they're wearing that shirt. And I'm just like, you know what? I need to go buy one because I know it's all – they're all over the internet, and I have some friends that have already bought them. But I'm going to go hunt one down, and I'm going to buy one, and I'm going to start wearing it because, you know what? It's like everything Biden touches turns into a mess. I can't even say Biden. Biden is and his administration. And so I'm like, you know, it's so interesting that even adults are so woke in the fact that, oh, you can't wear that because that's offensive. But yet they can wear T-shirts about the everything. I mean, even the Make America Great Again apparel drove them nuts. Look at the kid in Kentucky. It's like, really? I'm like, whatever happened to free speech? I guess it's not. Maybe if she would have wore the shirt that actually said F.U. Biden, maybe they would have allowed that on there. I don't know. But it's so ridiculous that it's like it's just one-sided. If you believe this, then you've got all the liberties in the world. But if you believe this, oh, forget it. No way.
You know, it's interesting you say that because if she wore a Trump is a Nazi shirt on and kept the other one in like a backpack, you know, and then got through, oh, Trump's a Nazi. Yeah, come on in. No problem. Well, that's political offensive speech. Well, that's okay. Yeah, you know, we're a free country. And then she got inside the gates and then you know, put on her, you know, Let's Go Brandon shirt and spent the rest of the day in that. I mean, it's stupid that you have to do that, but it'd be an interesting way to play the game. That it'd be interesting to organize an entire stadium of people that walked in with, you know, regular shirts or boring shirts or things like that. Then all of a sudden either changed or threw on, you know, a Let's Go Brandon shirt for the entire stadium. That would be a great operation. That's something that that I would, you know, help plan or organize. But I'm sure there are colleges and groups out there that if you want to do that, just wear a regular shirt. You know, you got to get a little creative here. So wear a regular shirt in. And as soon as you're seated, you know, the whole stadium hopefully will put on their Let's Go Brandon shirts and let's go.
Exactly.
That would be wonderful.
Well,
yeah.
There was one college, and I read this a few weeks ago, so I don't remember, but they are not allowing people to chant the Let's Go Brandon. It's like, you know what? I think it's a great way to be patriotic. And it's like, well, I guess you could say, well, it's not patriotic because Biden is in the White House right now. It's like, Biden, we know, is not patriotic. I mean, he is so anti-American, it's not even funny. So people don't even need to do that argument with me. But
he's
like,
a criminal.
Oh, my God.
He's a traitor, a criminal, and he's the head of a coup. Now, whether he actually organized himself or executed it, I would say no, because I don't think he's able to do that right now.
No,
he's
you're
certainly
right.
I agree. He's certainly the head of he is the person, you know, currently occupying Trump's chair in the White House, he is the head of a coup. And
he's
I have
the
a comic.
Head.
Exactly. Well, I have a cartoon that I found on a friend's Facebook page that has both he and Kamala Harris, the party girl, with puppet strings, you know, connected to Obama, who has puppet strings connected to George Soros. And so you sort of transfer this all the way through. These are puppets under puppets under puppets. And it's just, and I don't know if Soros is the top of it. I'm not sure. I think it's there's sort of like this globalist council that probably meets like the old Bohemian Club. That, you know, it would be Soros, Bill Gates, and Bloomberg, and a couple of really rich leftist billionaires that think they can control the world. And those are the folks who are doing all this crap for their own benefit. And why they think that, you know, killing half the world's population is going to be a good thing, I don't know. But that's what they seem hell-bent on doing. That and their wild Caligula you know, sexual absurdities with things like Epstein's Island and some of those other things that rich and powerful people think they can get away with because they think, oh, Zuckerberg would be in that group also. And Bezos and who would be Dorsey, the head of Twitter. So those are the kind of people who would be in this kind of secret globalist, you know, club and trying to direct, you know, the entire world. Just they think by virtue of, you know, the billionaire makes you a god. And it just doesn't work that way. But yet that's what they think. So there's your problem.
You know, I would think. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I would think Fauci's in there, too, because you have to get someone that's going to be another puppet master from the ground. You know, Biden is one. I can't even say Kamala is one because she does nothing. I don't know what she does to get a paycheck. I really don't. But yeah, it's
crazy.
Well, you know
how she got the job.
Well, yeah, we all do. And what a mistake that is. That's why you never hire someone that doesn't have the right qualifications.
Yeah, I believe in feminism. Don't sleep your way to the top, okay? That's not a job qualification.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. And it's not a role model in my book, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So she should be like the anti-feminist. She should be like the anti-woman. It's like the way not to, you're not going to get respect. You're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be hard on your merit. And there's so many qualified women out there that do amazing work and are absolutely brilliant. And here she comes along, you know, and does the Willie Brown thing on, you know, he's in his 60s and she's in her 20s. And let's pave the way for this babe. You know,
but even
go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Even she did in California with incarcerating people for black people for marijuana and all this other stuff, it's like now she's the holier than thou person telling us that, oh, you don't have, you know, those crimes should not be punished. She's started helping fund or encouraging people to, you know, pay or fund the rioters' legal fees, but yet. Back then when she was in California, what did she do? She did stuff just to better her own career, not what's the best for the people she was serving. Oh, no, because that got her nowhere. She's as far as I'm concerned, she's worse than the piece of gum I step on the ground and get it all stuck over my shoe.
Oh, that's a great analogy. A question for you, though. If you, I was just listening to the latest polls, you know, Brandon is down in the 30s. He's one of the least popular. He's the least popular of the coup, you know, presidents because he's the only one. But as far as his ratings go, his approval ratings are in the 30s. All right.
But hers are worse, aren't they?
Kamala Harris's are in the 20s. I mean, they're both in the. He's in the, I guess, 37 to 39. I'm not sure which range. But anything below 40 is insane. It's never even Obama didn't get that low, and he was a terrible president. But Kamala Harris is in the 20s. So you'll notice, you know, we all thought that you know, Brandon would be there only enough time to get Kamala Harris in the White House, you know, in Trump chair, right? Okay, well, here's what's happened. What I think the Democrats have discovered that she's even less popular than he is.
Right.
So as bad a situation as they're in now, it would only be worse by having her there. So you notice that as much as she's already envisioned, you know, redecorating the Oval Office, you know, in California, you know, tie-dye colors, all right, ain't happening. She's not there, nor is there anybody talking about it happening. In fact, the one thing that's specifically not talked about in Democrat circles on the news or the media, not even in trial balloons, is, well, do you think Kamala Harris should take over for Joe Biden, you know, President Poopy Pants? No, because they all realize that it'd be even worse. As bad as he is, he's still better for the Democrats than she is. That is staggering, because they could have put anybody in. Once you steal an election, you can put anybody in. And who did they pick to put in? The puppeteer, you know, the puppet and the puppet's puppet. And they screwed up.
You got to wonder what her and Obama had going on. And the reason I say that, I think Obama is the only reason she got chosen. And if she got chosen because she was non-white figurehead, it's like there's a lot of non-whites that, yeah, like you're saying, more qualified, eloquent speakers, knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, then it wouldn't be as scary as me thinking that Biden's in the White House because you know it's only a matter of time. Sooner or later, they're going to kick him out. But if they would have had someone else that's even a little, I don't want to say aware, but she has no clue what she's doing. She's so far over her head, it's not even funny.
No, I think she knows exactly what she's doing, but what she's doing. She just, it has nothing to do with helping the country. What she's doing is helping herself.
I think she's very manipulative and stuff like that, but I'm talking about knowing what she's doing as far as political, running a country. I don't think she has a clue on how to run a country. She can't talk. I mean, you listen to her, and that's all she does is laugh. And I know sometimes you laugh in when you're nervous, when you're in intense situations, when you're fearful. But it's like, you know, being the president of a country, vice president, you cannot laugh in some of these situations. I mean, it's downright disgusting because when you go meet a family of a lost loved one and she finds something to laugh about, you know, it's like this is not a party. And I'm sorry if she wants it to be a party. This is, it's a situation where you're giving comfort to others. And even Biden don't even know how to do that. You know, he makes it all about himself. Terrible. I know, awful. But
I got one more question on this before we get on to your next topic. But not only is it interesting that no one's talking about Harris replacing Biden, you know, 25th Amendment or him retiring or anything like that. No one's talking about her running in 2024 either.
Well, the thing is, I read something last week that they're thinking next year they'll kick him out and put her in because she can then still run for two terms. But I didn't think she could because I thought once they're in office, they only get another term. But they said if it's before the first two years, then she can run two more. I don't know. Yeah. I have to look more into that because if that's true, I mean, that shouldn't be true because if that's true, then technically, Trump should be able to win or go another term, too, because he didn't, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Well, I've argued that, too, that if Trump had his second term stolen, therefore he's entitled to two more, if nothing else but restitution or reparations for having a stolen the first time. No, it's in the Constitution. I'm looking for it right now. I think it's Article 2 that, it's true that the president can serve, or maybe it's the 25th Amendment. Not this. Or it could be 22nd Amendment, which defines the term. Let's try. Let me try 22nd here real quick. 22, Roman numerals. That's 23.
I would think, and maybe this is wrong, I should be thinking, but I would think that Biden would have to do something really insane for them to pull the 25th Amendment or them to kick him out. And the reason I say that, some of the stupid crap he's already done and they haven't done anything. It's like, and you listen to him talk. Oh, my God, I love listening to some of the Australian newsreels that I get in because I don't want to say they make fun of him, but they're like, what is he saying? I mean, when he was overseas last week, oh man, this seems like so long ago, meeting the Pope and then going to the summit and some of the stuff he said, it's like, what was he saying? What was he trying to say? I mean, he can't get a coherent sentence out and then another sentence to make sense of what he just said. It's like, I don't know. He's got to be a really good actor or we're in worse shape than I thought because...
Well, he plays lines. There was Tucker Carlson did something really brilliant last night where he talked about this alleged or real payment of $450,000 to illegal aliens under the Trump administration who were, quote, separated from their parents, okay?
Right.
What they really were doing... was separating children from adults to make sure that the children actually did, you know, belong to the adults. I mean, they weren't just being rented to get them across the border. So the Trump administration was doing a really good thing, even though it was traumatic for the children. It was more traumatic to be left with, you know, rapists, murderers, child sex traffickers, and everything else. That's what the Trump administration was doing. So for Brandon to come along and say that we're going to give $450,000 for people who came to this country illegally. Okay, you know, that nobody put a gun to their head and said, you got to, you know, walk in the United States illegally. That's insane. But what's interesting was his initial gut reaction before he knew about the policy was, you know, Peter Ducey of Fox News said, you know, why do you have this policy of giving $450,000 to illegal aliens, you know, crossing the border? And he says, well, that's not true. That's garbage. Stop reporting fake news. Okay, well, he didn't know about it yet. So then Tucker Carlson then says, here's how President Brandon reacted after his talk with the people that really are running the country. In other words, Obama, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, uh-huh. Michelle Obama, and the shadow government. Then he came back and says, you know, if you've lost your child, they're gone. You've lost your child. It's a really horrible thing to listen to. You get so stern about it. You know, but then he says, you know, you deserve compensation. Oh, really? So he was given his lines, and he rehearsed his lines, and he was appropriately dramatic, you know, the next time he was at the podium. But it's all fake. You know, his initial reaction was someone of surprise who said, well, that's a stupid policy. But then when he was given his marching orders, he dutifully fell in line. And Tucker did a really nice job of juxtaposing those two positions last night to sort of put that out there that, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what he believes. He's told what to say. And that's the problem. He has no conscience. Even if there's a shred of decency left in Joe Biden, he's not going to be allowed to show it. And if he does, it's going to be quickly corrected. All right, 22nd Amendment real quickly. No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president, well, I guess he's acting as president, you know, for more than, literally acting, for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of president more than once. What that really means is that if when Johnson took over for Kennedy, when Kennedy was assassinated a year into, I think it was Kennedy's second term or maybe the last year of his first term. I think it was last year of his first term. He only served for a year, you know, of the remaining Kennedy term. So he was allowed to run twice after that. And he only ran once and decided not to run again, but he could have. And that's how it worked with Johnson. In this situation, you've got a situation where if Biden is allowed to steal the presidency for more than 2 years, and then Trump, you know, takes over the last part of his term, by the Constitution, if Trump takes over his term again with less than 2 years, he should be able to run for another one.
But then, is that the same then for vice president? If a vice president takes over, wrong.
It's for anybody.
What is
anybody who acts
next year? Yeah. She'd take over, then she could only run one more year, so she'd have to wait till he's into the second year in order for that not to happen.
I wouldn't worry about Kamala Harris ever being elected to anything again. She may be appointed, she may be stolen, she may be part of the steal, but she couldn't have been elected the first time. She withdrew.
Right.
She was so bad.
Well,
bad in Iowa,
California wouldn't
withdrew.
Even vote for her.
Hell no.
Yeah. But, that's good. But the thing is, I mean, I think there's so many good females out there, qualified females out there, that would be way better. Not way better. I can't even put her in the same league. But, you know, crazy things happen.
Well, the fact she's female has very little to do with it other than her rather, obnoxious job quality search, tactic. But other than that,
female and black, and she's not even really black. Those are the only two qualities. But that's their token black person. That's not black. You're right. But that's
really
that's the biggest reason why they chose her. I mean, besides, I think Obama having a thing for her. Maybe it's just, you know, worship her. I don't know. But
do you think they ever had an affair?
Were so many other people they could have chosen.
Let's get really gossipy. Do you think Obama and Kamala Harris ever had an affair?
I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, been in the news. I'm
could
just
be, but I don't think so. I think there was something going on that I think he may have really liked her, I don't know, worshipped her, just idolized her because what did he say? She's the best looking attorney general there ever was or whatever he said. I don't think so. I could be totally wrong. I don't know.
I think Michelle would kill him.
I think their relationship is just an interesting one too. And I'm not going to, say anything more about that.
Seriously, let's take a look at it. What is that relationship? I mean, you look at Bill and Hillary, that bizarre relationship, that's politically expedient. Let's talk about Michelle and, she takes vacations at huge taxpayer expense the whole time Obama's screwing up the country. What's her deal? She was never really a first lady other than to screw up school lunches.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but people really praised her. I mean, it was just like she could do nothing wrong. She was better than sliced bread for people that like bread. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see anything of her. I think they make a good pair in the fact that they both hate America. I mean, all the stuff she said about, not liking America and all this stuff, it's like, wow. Coming from someone that got a job in the medical system that they made the job for her in Chicago and you know, it's like not, once again, not getting it by their merits. It's like who they knew, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, don't come there with me. But, you know, they preach about everything to us and that, you know, we need to give to the poor. We need to do this, do that. And what do? They live in their mansions on Martha's Vineyard, that how many percentage of people can actually afford to live there. And they got a, you know, their mansion in DC area, you know, so he can keep tabs on more fully what's going on in Washington. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's a, just put it this way. I don't think it's a love relationship. I think
love-based
it's a
relationship,
mutual
yeah.
benefit, mutual yeah. benefiting relationship. I mean, even like Bill and Hillary, you look at those two together and you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but it's like, it's even if you're the type of person that doesn't show affection, it's mm-hmm. like if you look at body language, and I don't like to use body language because people will tell me about my body language. If I cross my arms, it's like, man, I must be mad. It's like, no,
no
you
I'm
must
cold.
Be cold. No, it's just a habit, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I get it that we could read body language totally wrong, but mm-hmm. I don't know. They look like two miserable people too.
You think they've lost that love and feeling? They've lost that love and feeling.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Well,
it's gone.
Seen
but, you know, I get it, though. You know, if you're
really
comfortable in your lifestyle,
point.
You're yeah. comfortable in the image that's being portrayed, you're comfortable in just being what is and not mm-hmm. wanting a different relationship, yeah, I'm all for you. That's what makes you happy. Go for it. But yeah, there's things that don't add up. That just my opinion. And I ain't gonna waste time worrying about it or thinking about it. But yeah.
Oh no, this is like, fun. Are you kidding? This is the most gossipy hour I think we've had in quite a while. This is definitely a good time here. But you know, are there any really good, you know, political relationships, successful, you know, power couples that are in the public eye? I mean, I hate to say this, the one I think of first is Mitch McConnell and Elaine Chao, but they're in business with China together. You know, so he's destroying the Senate and she's destroying the transportation industry. You know, I mean, she's not head of it anymore, but I think she used to be. And
I think she still is, isn't she? Maybe
no,
I'm wrong.
Buttigieg, you know, who's come back from his you know, gay husband to after they had to take 2 months off to, you know, nurture a child that neither could breastfeed. I find that fascinating. Yeah. And neither gave birth to.
Well,
it's
really, you know, the thing amazing. Is with that, you talk about mm-hmm. incompetence. That guy is the most incompetent person they ever had in a job. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't say that because, oh my God, there's so many people incompetent in Biden's administration, but he is one of them. It's like he's done nothing to fix what's mm-hmm. going on the coast of California.
Okay.
And we're supposed to just suck it up and, okay, kids, you're not going to get your Christmas gifts this year because they're still mm-hmm. out in the sea because Biden and California and their stupid regulations and ineptness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a joke.
I keep thinking of all the stories that have been bothered. Why don't you get to your story? Because we've got plenty of time this morning before Shelby can't make it. So we have extra time to gossip.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Gene Greg Gossip Hour or two.
Well, this isn't gossip here, but I need your help in understanding this because I am very confused. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the Fifth Circuit Court said, put a halt on the mandate that what is supposed to start January 4th. Well, mm-hmm. the Biden administration counteracted and said the mandate from taking effect will probably cause the COVID problem to get worse. And we could lose maybe not dozens, but hundreds of people a day. And God forbid people that die of COVID. There's still people dying of COVID. But tell me, Greg, why is January 4th the day that is the be-all, tell-all? If this mandate was so important, it should have put into effect the day it was written. So why did they wait till after the holidays? Why? Because when people celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, New Year's, oh, well, they don't have to worry about COVID, but come January 4th, we have to start worrying about COVID again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't want people laid off before the holidays so they get their Christmas gifts. They don't want Biden to be thought of as the Brandon Grinch that stole Christmas. That's what it's all about.
Oh, that would be a great, great T-shirt or sweatshirt.
Ooh.
Brandon as a Grinch.
Yeah, yeah. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Your heart is full of snakes. You're an evil true tyrant. I can't think of a rhyme with snakes. Try that real quick. Anyway, yeah. I'm working on it. Still a touch off my game today. We do have t-shirts at Action Radio Products. Let me put in I haven't done this for a while, but we've got a couple of great t-shirts available at Action Radio Products. So we have a whole merchandising department that we're developing as well here. And one of them was my idea. And our master, merchandising person, created a shirt which has, I forget what it says exactly, that the COVID vaccine has killed more people than 9/11. And so what we have is one of the towers with an airplane, symbolically flying into it. And then we have an arm, a bare arm standing up next to the tower with a needle flying into it. And so it's a very powerful image. But those are the kind of shirts we have. But, yeah, we should put Biden in the Grinch face. Of course, now that we've announced it to, 70 countries, we may not be the first to actually do this, but that's okay. I'll worry about it later. But, yeah, okay, so understanding this. So understand the way that I understand this is that all roads lead to vaccines, all vaccines lead to sales, all sales lead to profits. That's really the formula that they're going here. So how can they maximize profits? Well, mandates. The more people that you mandate to get the shot, the more profits are going to be for the government, for the royalties, for Dr. Fascist, for Big Pharma, for investors like Big Tech. Facebook has billions invested in pharmaceutical stocks, and they're making billions more on top of that because of all the things they're sold. There are trillions of dollars in money changing hands over these vaccines. And so, the government's getting a kickback. The Biden family's getting a kickback. The hospitals, the corporations, we can't prove it. But I'm sure that all these companies that are just rushing to these mandates for no reason are getting huge amounts of kickback somehow, or they're getting government contracts.
From the government. Oh, yeah.
They're getting something. All right. So there is coercion. There is intimidation. There is incentive. There is something, they say the carrot or the stick, to the donkey, to make it move. There's something that is driving all these folks to do it. So they don't care whether it's legal or not. What they care about is how many people they can get, to take the jab, to be vaccine injured. And they don't care that they're injured or dying. It doesn't matter to them. We'll get into why Gavin Newsom disappeared in a bit. But they don't care. So the thing is, if they issue a bogus mandate that they know is illegal, it doesn't matter, because a certain amount of corporations and a certain amount of employees are going to get the jab that wouldn't otherwise do so. That's profit for them. So the more people they can get to do this, by scaring, intimidation, people, having their job being threatened, and their job, of course, threatens their mortgage, threatens their family, threatens, food on the table, all that kind of stuff. The more people they can do that to, it's extortion. It is what it is. It's an extortion scheme so they can make more money. So the more people they can get jabbed, by whatever means necessary, the more money they make. And that's really what this is all about. So the mandates are illegal. We know they're illegal. We know they're going to be overturned. Every constitutional court says so. That you can find even liberal ones. I think... was it Joseph Turley, the Harvard, fairly liberal constitutional scholar, says, this isn't going to work. And I had an article from yesterday. I got another one today from Daily Wire. That's pretty big on this, which I'll get to. Yeah, it's right in front of me here. Federal court freezes Biden vaccine mandate over possible grave statutory and constitutional issues. So we know this thing. They've already stated it. Okay, but it doesn't matter. Because then the insurrection says, well, that's not going to work. You better get the jab. We're going to get you anyway. We're going to win. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so more people get scared, more people get intimidated, more people think their job is being threatened, more people think that means their mortgage and their kids and everything else is going to be threatened, and they're going to get the jab, just in case. Okay, they can't wait for it to be overturned. They can't wait for these problems. They can't wait because that deadline's coming up, and they better get it now because just in case. Now, I'm telling everybody to wait. Wait as long as you can. In fact, I would say never get it. I mean, lose your job over this. There's other things you can do temporarily. There's an amazing amount of things that people can do if you're resourceful, because there's a lot of jobs out there, because there's a lot of people still being paid not to work. Will you make your same salary? No, probably not. You might have to sell some things. Yeah, probably. But it's worth it to keep your life and keep your health for you, your spouse, and your kids. I mean, it's just that simple. Let me play my Biden PSA on this, and just to let you know how we feel here at Action Radio, and we'll be right back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need,
It's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now, so that you are never in that position in the future. I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com. BESMALLBUSINESS. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it.
Action Radio. Dangerously cool.
Yeah, I thought I'd sneak in our commercial for Eric Colley, our webmaster. Gene, you're going to love the new website when you see it. He's doing some amazing work. It's going to have graphics and video, and it's going to be very easy for people to be able to go right to the legislation and write their own bills, and I'll be able to take them, post them, correct them, edit them. And we're going to have fabulous things. I'll have Greg's blog. I'll have my own blog site there. Now that I think about it, we should have any of our Action Radio folks who write articles should be able to post there as well. So it's going to be fabulous. I mean, everything here is growing, changing. We got sponsors coming in. It's fascinating. We're getting ready for a breakout, huge national breakout. And I think a lot of that's going to start tonight. So I'm really excited about what's happening. Okay. Did I cover what you wanted? Did I explain, does it make sense about the vaccine mandate? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's just sad because the thing is they've done this, and so people, this is like a wake up call, because if they're allowed to do this and get by with this, what other freedoms are they going to take away in the future for the best interest of ourselves, because we don't know what's best for ourselves.
Well, that's the whole point of what they're doing. I mean, you've absolutely, nailed it on the head. This is what they want to do. I mean, there is no end. We did shows over a year ago, saying you cannot, buy your constitutional rights with compliance, because they'll just keep upping the cost. They'll up the price. There is no end. So once you agree to the proposition that your rights can be taken from you and that you have to buy them back with compliance, you'll never have rights. And this is why I never gave in at any point along the way. I said, no, this is not a legitimate deal. There is no compromise. There is no point at which you bend. There is no point. And this is why the laws that I'm writing both the public health authority here in the state of Florida and the Parental Bill of Rights, there's no compromise. The primary, the supreme, law in both those bills is that constitutional individual rights are supreme over any emergency or pandemic. You can solve a pandemic. You can cure a pandemic. You can isolate and quarantine people after they've had their due process and are tested properly. and actually the sick people are quarantined, you can solve a pandemic that way and still not violate individual rights. Okay, so the idea that you have to suspend rights or restrict rights, or there's any kind of compelling state interest, or we have to do this for the public good, or you have to act for the public good, that's all nonsense. None of that applies. That's just ways to take your rights away and to take and to create power for a central government. It has nothing to do with solving a pandemic or an emergency or anything else.
Right. And my thinking is, okay, if they're so worried about our rights, what's best for us, then why don't they treat it in a way that's effective?
Well,
thank
you,
Dr. Fauci, because he got his way, and it's,
That's a really good point, too, because what you've identified is the reason that you can never have government restrictions, as temporary as they may be, which they never are, but you can never have government plans, programs, actions, restrictions take precedence over constitutional rights, because that's exactly what they will do. They'll make it up. They'll change the data. They'll scare you. They'll use propaganda. They'll do anything they want. Constitutional rights are always supreme to any action of government, because anything can be solved while still maintaining constitutional rights. The worst nuclear war, the worst pandemic, the worst situation you can think of can always be solved while maintaining constitutional rights. All right. Now, we may have to cooperate and do different things. And, you know, and certain people who do get, I mean, due process, checking you for a communicable dangerous disease if you demonstrate symptoms is getting your due process. Okay. And if you're found to have that communicable disease, you can't be quarantined. So not being stupid about this. Right. But what I'm saying in the bills is that you can't quarantine the healthy people. You can't quarantine people who you think might have been exposed to somebody who might have it maybe. You know, you can't close some businesses but not others. You can't close beaches but not government offices. You can't arbitrarily do anything. And there is no chain of command. There is no requirement to follow. And I've written this into the Florida bill, that there's no requirement to follow the guidelines or suggestions of the federal government, especially given the corrupt nature of the federal government.
Right.
You know, so it,
well,
go ahead.
I think Fauci, you know, I mean, there's so many reasons why he should be fired. But changing the gain of function definition on the NIH website after Rand Paul nailed him with it, that should be right there, means for criminal stuff, because that's just the beginning of the iceberg. But also, he's covering his ass, which we all know he's been doing all along. But also, he's inept. He needs to be out of there. He needs to be fired. He needs to be prosecuted,
oh, no, you're too, mild.
Too, but I would just like fire. Just get him out.
Think about this, Gene. There's a very good chance that over his career, he's killed millions of people many more times than were killed in the Civil War.
All right, I would
firing,
hate to think, but you're
firing
right.
Firing is what you do to somebody who goes against company policy, okay? Arresting, trying, and there is no punishment that's fit for what he's done. There is none. You know, execution would be too easy. Quite honestly, and people have called for his execution. I'm not doing that. I want him to understand the suffering that he's caused this world. So what I would do is I would incarcerate him for the rest of his natural life, and I would broadcast news stories of all the tragedies that he's caused, and I'd make him watch those 24 hours a day, or at least have him play. That's what I would do. Okay. So you need to understand what you've done, and so anybody else that even thinks about this, they need to understand, too, that you can't get away with this kind of crap. And everybody that's been associated with him, all his enablers, everybody else, they all need to be arrested, too. Because there's a lot of people that know that chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin cured COVID. There's a lot of people that know that early treatment works, and a lot of people lied about it. This includes journalists, too. Okay. Now, I mean, I'm not talking about arresting a bunch of journalists, okay? Because there are some that reported stuff they knew was lies to keep their job, and there's some people that did it just because they wanted the propaganda line. That's a whole different thing. That's not necessarily a crime. That's just negligence. But the people that are actually in charge of being able to change policy, you know, we need to look all the way down the entire health bureaucrat line, and you need to look at the connection between Big Pharma and the FDA, CDC, and NIH. Now, I've written a bill with Dr. Zelenko that does just that. We changed the emergency use authorization procedure. I'm going to talk about this briefly tonight, if I get time, that if that bill had passed, the one that Dr. Zelenko and I wrote, to overhaul the EUA, the emergency use authorization, President Trump by himself could have authorized hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin as COVID treatments, and we wouldn't be in this mess. Okay, that's how powerful citizen legislation is. We knew what to do. We just didn't have, because we're, you know, censored and didn't have the audience that we need to really affect the national debate, I couldn't get it out there. Those who listen, those who know, and then we're talking worldwide, those who know, about this. We were just one of the many voices calling for these drugs and these early treatments. But citizen legislation can change the country. We just have to get it out there. But that was the potential of that bill. It still is, actually, except not with the current insurrection. But Congress could do it, especially if Congress, if the geldings take over Congress in the midterms, they could do it, because it also includes Congress's ability to authorize under an emergency use authorization treatments and cures for diseases. Still there, you know, they're
right.
Still alive. Yeah.
I wanted to make another comment about over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it, because I don't watch football anymore, but I saw a clip of Terry Bradshaw, and I actually used to like him. But what he said this weekend was despicable about Aaron Rodgers. You know about that whole fiasco, or, you know, people are upset because he said he got the jab and he didn't. But because of something he's got, he couldn't get one or two of the vaccines, or one of the vaccines. I forget what it is. And so it left him didn't leave him with all three options. So anyway, he didn't get it. And so Terry Bradshaw is very upset about that and whatever. And then he said, you know, it's like something about taking ivermectin, the horse pill, you know. And it's like, Terry, it's like, you know what, quit spreading the fear, because ivermectin, they may use it for horses, but it's also one major, not the Pulitzer Prize. Something.
Oh, Nobel Prize. Nobel Prize in medicine.
Yeah.
With ivermectin. Yeah.
So I'm like, it's like, wow, you just showed, you know, in a game like that, okay, give your viewpoint of whether or not you agree with what he did, but you don't have to go everything else, because I don't watch football anymore, but people don't watch football to get nagged at about your political beliefs.
Where'd you go?
Oh, I'm still here. Yeah. But I just thought it was so sad. It's like, yeah, you can be upset about it. So be upset about it. But to say ivermectin, the horse pill, Terry, it just shows you how inept and incompetent, and that you know nothing about what you're talking about. And you're just listening to mainstream media fears.
Well, they say that because they don't want people cured early. They want them to, and this is the sick part. This is the sick part of both the mainstream media and the health bureaucrats, is they'd rather have people die to generate the fear to push more vaccines, because they're all making money off it. You know, it'd be interesting to see. Well, actually, if you can do a quick search, see if CNN owns pharmaceutical stocks, or see if there's any financial gain, because they're the ones that are pushing the line. And just to let folks know, while Gene's looking, that ivermectin, you know, yes, it's used for people, and yes, it's used for horses, but the products are different. You know, the horse version of ivermectin, although it's still ivermectin, has all kinds of other, you know, ingredients in it that are designed for horses. It also has a dose that's made for a, you know, 2,000-pound animal, you know, as opposed to the dose for a human. Pharmaceutical grade, you know, ivermectin for people is made for, you know, an entirely different weight class than horses. Okay. Yes, we're both mammals. Yes, we have the same organs, but we're different. Okay. Animals are different than people. That's why we have people versions, and that's why we have, you know, the animal version. So ivermectin, yeah, exactly. I mean, there are many drugs, I think, that cross the barrier with mammals, you know, because they work. I mean, you can't do it with birds. Birds are different. Well, birds are mammals too, but anyway, point being that there's lots of I think, cross uses, but there are always different versions. You know, you wouldn't, there's lots of things that you wouldn't use, you know, crossing over. Anyway, Gene, if you find something, let me know. I can.
I'm still looking, yeah.
Yeah, well, take your time. I want to start the story because Gene raised this issue earlier. This is the Daily Wire. It's talking about the Fifth Circuit. It's called Federal Court Freezes Brandon Vaccine Mandate Over Possible Grave Statutory and Constitutional Issues. Brandon was my word. You can tell when I'm substituting. Okay, fine. This is Ryan Saavedra, Saavedra, November 6, 2021, DailyWire.com. A U.S. Federal Appeals Court issued a stay on Saturday, temporarily halting Democrat insurrectionist Joe Biden, his vaccine mandate that would have required companies with at least 100 employees to get vaccine injured for the coronavirus or be tested weekly. The ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit stated the following. It says here, before the court is the petitioner's emergency motion to stay enforcement of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's November 5th, 2021 emergency temporary standard, parentheses, the mandate, pending expedited judicial review. because the petitions give cause to believe there are grave statutory and constitutional issues with the mandate. The mandate is hereby stayed, that's S-T-A-Y-E-D, in other words, halted, pending further action by this court. Back to the article. Immediately following the release of the OSHA rule, the Daily Wire was the first major company to file a lawsuit against the Biden insurrection, as the company noted in a live report on Thursday. It says the lawsuit does not take a position on whether someone should receive the vaccine or not, only against Biden's mandate, and I should say Brandon's mandate, announced earlier this year and unveiled on Thursday morning. The mandate applies to all companies with 100 or more employees and forces those businesses to police the vaccine status of their employees. I think under HIPAA, that's illegal. Okay, Gene can tell me for sure. Daily Wire, with over 100 employees, falls under this mandate. The Daily Wire, yeah. Do you know how many employees we have at Action Radio? I'll tell you later. Anyway, the Daily Wire's lawsuits. Gene's already laughing. Yeah. We're gonna have a lot. This is gonna be a major corporation one day. Trust me. The Daily Wire's lawsuit seeks to overturn Brandon's executive action, arguing that the order is unconstitutional and that the Brandon administration violated federal law in drafting it. Okay, so yeah, not only, and here's where the Administrative Procedures Act should come in, because they've got an unconstitutional law, they drafted it unconstitutionally, they didn't go through the normal regulatory process, there was no public comment, there was no waiting period, there's none of the things that violation to become law without actually being passed by Congress, that's another violation as far as I'm concerned, but all these things happen, they just did it. It's like when Pelosi, you know, wanted to impeach Trump the second time, she took a poll. Democrats said, yeah, let's do it. There's no investigation. There's no hearings. There's no evidence. They took a poll, and that was the second impeachment was a poll. This time, they're doing it through OSHA because they can't do it through Congress. It's not going to work. Everybody knows it's not going to work. The courts know it's not going to work. So they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want the mandate without actually having the mandate. They want to be able to get people vaccine injured so they can make money without actually having to go through or they do have to go through the legal process by the time it's over, so many people will have be vaccine injured and they'll make their profits. It won't matter. That's what's going on. Gene.
Yeah. I was going to make a comment before about the ivermectin.
Please do.
I used to, like allergy medicine. I take allergy pill over the counter one every day because of my allergies. And I used to have my other two Boston Terriers. One of them had bad allergies. What did they tell me to do? Give her Benadryl as she needed it. Okay, that's human pill. I'm giving it to my dog. So does that mean I'm taking a animal pill because my dog could take it too?
Yeah, no.
You know, it's
different portions because your dog weighs less than you do, unless you have like a, you know, St. Bernard.
Yeah, no, but it's just for the thought that it's crazy, this, I want to say stupid talk, that they'd rather spread the lies and fear than really help the masses with actually, if you do get COVID, recovering from COVID, mm-hmm. or your best chances of recovering.
Well, you know, and you made a point earlier I want to focus on. You're talking about, you know, if they really, you know, had interest in solving this, they would have the cures. They would, you know, they were talking about the cures. The media were talking about the cures. The government were talking about the cures. You know, the fact that we know this is a profit-making enterprise and COVID is simply a marketing tool is the fact they don't talk about the cures and they don't talk about the early treatment. You know, so the easiest, cheapest way out of this was the 60 million hydroxychloroquine tablets that Peter Navarro had ready to go back in March of 2020. That was the cure. This could have ended, but they had no interest in the cure. And so that's the scary part about this. This is how you know this is a conspiracy to, you know, defraud Americans of trillions of dollars and the collateral damage of you know, several hundred thousand, 750,000 people killed, either from or with COVID. Doesn't matter, because this is about money. And that's what they worship. You know, they say the love of money is the root of all evil. In this case, it's certainly true.
Right. Yeah. So sad.
How criminal, you know, I mean, from your experience, you know, in psychology and let me just move stuff around here, but in psychology, what would you call this? What would you call people? You know, to me, this is criminally insane, but I don't think they're insane because there's a rationality to what they're doing, as cold and calculating as it is. But is this sociopathy, psychopathy? Avaricious greed to the point of losing conscience. You know, where do these people fall in the spectrum of the human condition? You know, to be able to kill that many people, sleep well at night, watch their bank accounts and offshore Cayman Islands accounts grow. You know, I'm sure Dr. Fascist has billions of dollars tucked away somewhere. What kind of a person can do that, kill that many people, knowing they know the cure, which they're probably taking themselves? You know, Dr. Fascist has never gotten sick. You know, he's 80 years old, you know, 80 plus years old. You know,
and look how many
healthy?
People he hangs around with. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so, and how come I put this question before too, how come no major politician, you know, has had an adverse vaccine reaction? You know, wasn't there an article? Well, actually, I think it was an article that I forgot to look this up. There's like 200 or so people in Congress that have already received ivermectin.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge amount. Exactly.
Can you look that up real quick?
Yeah. I haven't found anything about the like CNN and stuff like that, but okay. I did see something. Pfizer sponsors news on ABC, CBS, NBC, NBC, but when I pull it open, I don't get much of nothing. So I will have to dig deeper on that.
Well,
you know,
reported.
There's yeah,
knows.
Exactly. There's something going on with that.
Yeah, we need a whistleblower. To lose their job and tell us the truth. But so let's find out, because I remember seeing this as an article in Congress, you know, or about how many people in Congress. And this makes perfect sense. You know, see, they're not stupid. This is why Congress exempts themselves from all the laws. You know, in fact, George McGovern was famous, you know, when he was in Congress for being a liberal and passing all these restrictions on business. And then he bought a guest house or an inn up in either Maine or Minnesota. I think it was Maine. He was from Minnesota. He moved to Maine. Moved it to Maine, and he wanted to open this guest house, and he was stunned by all the regulations and problems and hassles. This is impossible. How does anybody open a business? You know, well, Senator, you passed most of those bills. You voted for them. And he's like, oh. So, you know, it happens. It happens to all of them. All right, let's watch.
Okay, it says before the vaccine mandate, or vaccine, not mandate, but vaccine, ivermectin was used to treat over 200 members of Congress.
Oh, wait a minute. When's that article and what's the source?
Let me see. This says Red Voice America in October 26, 21.
Okay, so that's just last month. So they're saying that over 200 members of Congress received ivermectin, which is, according to the FDA, banned for COVID use, right? Otherwise, doctors across the country could prescribe it. People are dying in hospitals because they can't get ivermectin.
Right.
Remember the woman in Minnesota that the hospital banned her family from taking her out, even though the attorney and the ambulance were right there. It's
no, that was
around
Chicago.
Here.
I think that was Illinois.
Chicago. Okay. Yeah.
How sad. How very sad.
So wait a minute. So you want to talk about we're above the law?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Once again, it's do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Can you fill out my messenger? I'm going to post it on my page.
Oh, gosh, let me see if I can. I may have deleted it already. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Keep them for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know.
Okay. Yeah, it's just so crazy.
Yeah, I'll post that. You don't have to do it right now, but I'm just curious. Okay, all right. So I got a message I got to do. Studio 850, I'm trying to get a hold of. For the broadcast tonight for the thing. Let me tell you about, here's the flyer that was sent out, and I think this may be a mistake on it. So the rally tonight, it's the Panhandle Doctors Freedom Rally, and they say for women and children. Why they're isolating out guys, I don't know. I think that's a mistake, but that's just me. So it's tonight, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and then, of course, that's, you know, Central Standard Time, not daylight, because even though Florida passed a law saying we're permanent daylight time, you know, Congress is still, they're still knuckling under to Congress and turning the clocks back. Idiots. So
well,
6:30
they still know what's best for you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Congress. Yeah, because they know what's best for themselves. They take ivermectin. All right. Yeah. All right. So it's at Blue Wahoo Stadium. So you lived in Florida for a while. Is it Wahoo or Wahoo? Which is it? Is it a Blue Wahoo or is it a Blue Wahoo? I know that's a small point, but I'm curious.
I don't know. I think it's Wahoo, but I don't know.
Like Yahoo? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Guest tonight, Dr. Brian Ardis, and I've watched videos by him. That's Ardis. He's brilliant. You know, he calls Dr. Fascist a psychopath and some other things too. Well, maybe not quite that, but he is in choice words from. Really, here's my description. Genocidal psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. Dr. Teresa Mahaffey, not sure about her. Don't know who she is yet. Dr. Jim Thorpe and Dr. Mimi Nguyen. I'm not familiar with those. Dr. Judy Mikovits was on the program. Like I say, I text her about that. I think she has a different engagement tonight. But so that's who's going to be on the show. And, of course, the one person they forgot to list is, you know, yours truly. I'm going to be there, too. And so, you know, I'll get my 5 minutes in. You might go a couple minutes longer. Gene, I don't know if I can talk for just 5 minutes. You know, I do a three-hour show every day. How am I going to do that? It's my dilemma. All right.
You'll do fine. You'll do fine. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Do you have another story? Otherwise, I'll take a break and we'll play some Santa Rosa Volunteer stuff. I'm still behind on that. I promise, folks, I'm going to get you probably 2 episodes this week, but I need to get through the rally tonight and make sure I have my bill done. And that's
yep.
really taking precedence right now. So you're okay on stories for a bit?
Yeah, why don't you take a break? Because I didn't have a whole lot to say. I'm just going to talk more about the energy. And we talked about Budovich before, but I think you could take a break. People probably just need a break.
Okay, well, that's true. Yeah. Well, I want them listening. I mean, you, know, you go back
yeah,
to
just
routine.
Give a minute.
Make sure. Yeah. Okay. So I played you, I think, Federalist number 5 yesterday. I'm going to play you Anti-Federalist number 5 today.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. The pompous, arrogant, elitist John Jay, who wrote Federalist Paper No. 5, has such complete contempt for the American people that he obviously wants to rule over the people for their own good with his strong national constitution. However, the rebuttal in Anti-Federalist No. 5 is just the opposite. It is simple, short, honest, straightforward, takes John Jay's writing head-on, and makes complete hash of John Jay's weak propaganda. Anti-Federalist No. 5 was written and signed by an anonymous author known only as An Observer. Whoever it is appeals to my sense of logic and reason to take on the elitist and powerful through quiet ridicule, where you are making total fun of them, but it's not so obviously apparent to them. This is probably the easiest of my discussions of any founding document, because all I have to do is mention some select quotes to show you how An Observer turns John Jay's writing into mush. John Jay began Federalist No. 5 with the claim that the union of Scotland and England should be the model of our states, and that a letter from Queen Anne to the Scotch Parliament would be the convincing evidence. An Observer writes, "It is a certainty that when the Union was the subject of debate in the Scottish legislature, some of their most sensible and disinterested nobles, as well as commoners, who were not corrupted by English gold, violently opposed the Union and predicted that the people of Scotland would, in fact, derive no advantages from a consolidation of government with England, but on the contrary, they would bear a great proportion of her debt and furnish large bodies of men to assist in her wars with France, with whom, before the Union, Scotland was at all times on terms of the most cordial amity." It appears quite clear that the Union envisioned by John Jay is based on force and subjugation. No wonder John Jay became our first Supreme Court Chief Justice. The elites were already moving in shortly after the ratification of the Constitution. An Observer further observes, "It deserves also to be remembered that the people of Scotland, in the late war between France and Great Britain, petitioned to have arms and ammunition supplied them by the general government for their defense, alleging that they were incapable of defending themselves and their property from an invasion unless they were assisted by government. It is a truth that their petitions were disregarded, and reasons were assigned that it would be dangerous to entrust them with the means of defense, as they would then have it in their power to break the Union." This definitely portends a future U.S. where the government would have all the arms and the people defenseless, all in order that the national government remain in power. In describing this absurd example in Federalist No. 5, An Observer states, "From this representation of the situation of Scotland, surely no one can draw any conclusion that this country would derive happiness or security from a government which would, in reality, give the people but the mere name of being free. The last paragraph of Anti-Federalist No. 5 is so good, there is no explanation that is needed, so let me close with this from An Observer. I observe that the writer above mentioned takes great pains to show the disadvantages which would result from 3 or 4 distinct confederacies of these states. I must confess that I have not seen, in any of the pieces published against the proposed Constitution, anything which gives the most distant idea that their writers are in favor of such governments. But it is clear these objections arise from a consolidation not affording security for the liberties of their country, and from hence it must evidently appear that the design of Publius in artfully holding up to public view the bugbear of such confederacies can be with no other intention than willfully to deceive his fellow citizens. Publius is what John Jay called himself in the Federalist Papers. Going on, I am confident it must be, and that it is, the sincere wish of every true friend to the United States that there should be a confederated national government, but that it should be one which would have a control over national and external matters only, and not interfere with the internal regulations and police of the different states in the Union. Such a government, while it would give us respectability abroad, would not encroach upon or subvert our liberties at home. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from foundingfathersquotes.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it.
Radio, dedicated to fixing everything.
Yeah, that seems like a sort of an all-encompassing slogan to get us going here. Yeah, Gene, I was just looking at the article that you sent on the. Let me pull it up here because this is really funny. It looks like a place that I think we need to talk to, Red Voice Media. And so it's got, it says in the entertainment section, 200 members of Congress treated with ivermectin by Dr. Pierre Corry. Oh, Corry, there we go. I thought it was like C-O-R-V, or K-O-R-V. It's K-O-R-Y. Dr. Pierre Corry, there we go. And it's Joe Rogan. the subheading, Horse Pace Cures Congress. Oh, it's by Jeremy Porter. So now I'm really confused. Okay, so we need to look up this guy, Dr. Pierre Corry, P-I-E-R-R-E-K-O-R-Y. He's treating Congress. Now, how does he get to treat Congress? Articles by Jeremy Porter, October 26, 2021, so last month. So the liberal media has done a fantastic job spinning the narrative that the only way to fight COVID-19 is to get the vaccine, even though it technically doesn't work. Still, the media, including giants like CNN, blasted any person who went against the narrative or the cruel Dr. Anthony fascist, my word, when it came to the vaccine. But while CNN does have a great deal of media power, they miscalculated when they sought to cancel Joe Rogan for taking ivermectin to fight COVID-19. And if CNN were hoping that Rogan and his legions of fans would stop at just exposing their fake news, they would be sorely mistaken. In just a couple of minutes, Rogan was able to completely shatter CNN's theory that he took horse dewormer to fight COVID-19. The international podcaster questioned one of CNN's chief medical advisors who sided with him about the matter. Yet when it came time for CNN to apologize, they tried to spin the narrative around on Rogan. But again, Americans were onto their act. As for Rogan continues to question CNN, and he was recently sitting down with Michael Malice, M-A-L-I-C-E, when he dropped another bombshell about ivermectin. Apparently, they really misprinted this. This is apparently, and Rogan proved this in the video below, which I'll take a look at. Before the vaccine, ivermectin was used to treat over 200 members of Congress. Again, Rogan proves this, yet he claims that ivermectin is so cheap to make that anybody can do it. So what makes the COVID-19 vaccine so important? Profits. Yeah, this is really poorly written, but you get the idea. So in other words, Congress was taking a treatment that they wouldn't, they certainly haven't fought to authorize for you. They could do that. They could tell the FDA through oversight that the FDA needs to authorize ivermectin as an early treatment for COVID. Okay, they haven't done that. Why? Because they're in on it, or at least enough of them are in on it, and the geldings that could do something aren't speaking up. You know, that includes our own Congressman Matt Gaetz here in the 1st District. Why he's not speaking up, I don't know. Hopefully he'll come back on the show someday and I'll be able to ask him. But Rogan, so Gene, now I've already written Joe Rogan. I did this like 4 months ago, seeing if we could get on the show. We're going to be on the show one day. And you think busy now? Wait till after we do the Rogan show. You're gonna be screening calls for the next 6 months on that one show. So it's gonna be fascinating. But that's what I'm working on. And so I think Rogan would really appreciate if I can get by his minion, gatekeeper, and actually get to talk to Joe about what the citizen legislation is and the power of it. I think it's going to be a huge step forward for us. And there's no reason to assume that we wouldn't be on a show. And that, again, getting, I don't need the 60 million, but 5 million would be nice. But if we get 60 million, if we get as big as Joe Rogan, that'd be kind of cool. Then watch the national debate. And so I'd like to encourage Joe to actually become a citizen legislator and be an Action Radio host himself, and I'll show him how to do it. So that's all in the plan. So anyway, nice find on that 200 members of Congress, 200 hypocrites of Congress, taking a drug that they have not publicly announced they are taking, and while denouncing the FDA for not allowing anybody else to take it. I mean, that would be the honorable thing to do, wouldn't you think?
You would think. You're correct. But I think that's our problem. Sometimes we think.
Yeah. So this is normally where we'd be arguing with Shelby about when she'd be telling us about her friends who take the vaccine and are happy. But she's not here today, so we're going to have to pick up that argument next time. I really miss our Shelby chats because she definitely livens up the show.
But I have to say, go ahead. Greg, I think people, for those people listening that you took the jab, I mean, if you're okay with taking the jab, you're happy, hey, more power to you. But I think you need to let everybody make their own decision because there are some people, mm-hmm. I mean, some people that just don't want it. Some people that don't believe in it, and some people for medical reasons cannot have it. And so I think we just need to let everybody make up their own decision and not cast, how would you say, be hypocritical for those that do opposite of what we believe, because basically we do live in a free country. We should be able to make our own decisions based on facts and not what people tell us as far as what they want to cram down our throats to be in facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people and governments can be wrong too. That's been proven throughout time. I look at this this messenger RNA shot like I look at smoking. Nothing good comes of it. The people I've talked to, Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Salenko, people that have studied modern vaccines, nothing good comes from them. I mean, they had good intentions. They might have done some good, way back when, but the current crop of vaccines from aborted fetal tissue and all kinds of other horrible things, I really don't want to go into, and that's horrible enough by itself. But nothing good comes from vaccines. Now, would I ban them, make them illegal? No. People have a right to make mistakes, even horrible mistakes, and sometimes, like I say, I could be wrong. But everything I've heard says that these are very dangerous and nothing good comes of them. So it's my duty to inform people of that fact, but not tell them they can't have one. That's why my PSA is informing, but not demanding. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, kept interrupting.
Okay.
It's interesting, though, because it's so hard. And, if you'd be face to face, at least I know when you're speaking. Otherwise, on the line, it's like you got
that's
a few
radio.
Seconds.
Yeah.
But
we all get anxious to say things and we jump all over each other because you want to get in when that gap, when somebody breathes, you want to get in that gap.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we step all over each other. It's just the way it goes. We're all used to it. Yeah, don't worry about
it. But I was going to say, it's interesting to see how the medical association or the doctors. There's mm-hmm. two, I mean, if you don't believe in the vaccines, you're considered like an outcast. But the people that don't the people that don't believe in the vaccines, and they've got the reasons why, it's like they don't say the people, you look at the doctors, they don't condemn other doctors. It's like, why are the ones that don't believe that there are other options? It's like, wow, I just find that hypocritical too. It's like to be so close-minded.
Well, I wonder how much of it is because of their corporation, they're being told what to say and what to do and how to treat people. I wonder how much of it is because they actually believe the nonsense, they believe the propaganda, and they just aren't getting access to other information. They're not looking for other information. And, you know, for those that don't want to do it, of course, the honorable thing is to leave that company, start your own practice, or start a practice with like-minded doctors. So, you know, doctor ethics do no harm. If you believe the vaccines are doing harm, you can't ethically give them. You can't recommend them. You can't do anything. And if your company says, well, I mean, this is our policy. You know, we're going to give vaccines. You know, this is what we require. And if you believe those to be wrong, then you've got to leave that company. I mean, that's just that, you know, there are certain choices that you have to make. Principle comes above employment. As much as I know employment, I mean, I know money counts, you know, I mean, mortgages and rent and bills and things like that. I understand that. But if money can always be held over you, money always will be held over you. And that's the problem.
Right. Jean. But when you talk about do no harm, I think medical professionals that keep their head in the sand, they're doing harm. But also, it's sad if you look at these medical professionals, they're treated like cattle, really. If you watch how some of them are, I don't want to say thrown, but taken out of their facilities, those that have worked there for years just because they don't have the vaccine, it's like, that is, I mean, where have we come as a society to treat people so inhumanely?
Well, think about this. People, families are splitting up over this. You know, Thanksgiving dinners are being split up. People are being divided into pro and con, you know, the vaccine injury. You know, this, even our language has changed. You know, if you're, some people say you're unvaccinated. I say you're DNA normal. You know, there's huge splits. I mean, Facebook, most of my liberal friends have gone, you know, because they can't stand what I'm saying. It's so against their propaganda that they can't handle it. So we're being split. In this country, doctors have to make a decision. Are they going to follow the government health plan? And if they agree with it, then they are going to follow it. But if they don't agree with it, they have a moral choice to make. And the moral choice is to follow, you know, what you think best for your patients, because that's who you serve. And if that means leaving your corporation and starting something new, it's inconvenient, sure, but you have to do it if you're a moral person. You know, that doesn't really leave you a choice. And these are the things that people have to do. But they're forcing a split on us. You know, they're forcing people to start thinking in ways they never thought before. Government experts were supposed to be acting in our best interest, and now we know they don't. They act in their best interest. Maybe they always did. It's hard to know. But the whole government health bureaucracy with Big Pharma, the government industrial pharmaceutical complex, you know, as Eisenhower talked about for the military, is very real. And the people that serve in government then go to serve in the corporations. And so everything they do in government is geared towards their job in the corporations. Well, the corporations don't want to be regulated. They want to maximize their profits, and they don't care how many people they lose along the way. And look at the smoking industry. I mean, tobacco industry. You know, how many 150, 200 years of operation, and they were still selling cigarettes like crazy? And they didn't care, even though nothing good comes of smoking? And I still wouldn't stop people from smoking, but just understand that, you know, and they call them coffin nails for a reason. But the same thing with the vaccine. The government agencies are not interested in you. They're interested in power and money.
Right.
Just like anybody else. Yeah. So that's how we're being split up. Okay,
yeah.
Second question.
It is interesting when you talk about families are split up. I mean, people that are getting married, some of them are mandating people have the vaccine before they come to the wedding, and if they're not vaccinated and they don't show proof of being negative COVID, they can't go to it. Or people, I know someone that was supposed to get the vaccine in order for him to see his grandchildren. It's like, I don't know. It's just so much based on, I think, fear and just not being informed.
Well, people aren't being, they're losing their humanity. They're not using their own judgment. They're so terrified of something they don't have to be terrified of. I mean, this thing is you know, less than 1% effective, even when you don't get treated.
Right, and if you look at the number of people that have been compromised, harmed, died because of getting the vaccine. And if you look at the number of people that have gotten the vaccine and still died of COVID, I don't know. I don't see where – I just don't understand the whole thing, the big push, except for money-making and dictating over people's lives. And I could be totally wrong, but that's just what I think. Let's see. Greg, are you on there?
I am not hearing anything.
If you're listening out there and if you can hear me, I'm not sure if I lost Greg or if he lost me, but we're going to see what's going on in just a minute. Technology. Gotta love it or gotta hate it. There's no in between, I don't think. Okay, so Greg is going to start a new episode. Hold.